before you write this sermon off, especially young people or maybe people who aren't considering getting into ministry, I know this is about elders and overseers, but I've looked at this passage and understood it in such a way that it's applicable to every person in this room, such as the whole of Scripture. And so as we go through this, if you're not aspiring to be an elder or an overseer or pastor or even a deacon maybe, would you still pay attention and keep in mind just the eternality of the Scriptures and the principles that are found therein, and I'm sure you'll find them applicable to your life. Elders and overseers start out as believers, and then they receive a call. And so all of Scripture is applicable to every person. Is that too hot? Is that sure? Okay. All right, so we're just going to work verse by verse. Verse 5 says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." The first step, obviously, in church growth, church planting, and what we're seeing going on here, the Apostle Paul went into a region and he would preach the gospel. Souls would be saved. Those people would assemble, as believers do. When God saves a believer, they assemble together and they want to study, they want to know God, they want to hear from God. And so he writes to Titus and he says, organize the work of the gospel, what I've left, what remains, what's there. He wasn't talking about organizing the furniture in the church or organizing paperwork. He's saying, organize the work that I've left you with and appoint elders in every city. And so as we work through this, I want you to see the reasoning, the whys behind why do we organize? Why is the church to be organized? Why is God a God of order? And why are we to appoint leaders? And why are those leaders to conduct themselves in a certain manner? And so if you'll ask the whys of the Scripture as you go through, what you're going to find is it's going to drive you back to the character of God. And so really look as we and pay attention today as we go through this and look at the character of God. Who is this God that I serve? And what does He demand of me? Particularly, what does He demand of elders and overseers, but what does He demand of every believer, and how is that accomplished? So God is a sovereign God. He's a sovereign God of order. And so Paul didn't just tell Titus, put things in order, like I said, arranging things. You have an order of worship that we saw as you go down, and that's a very good thing to have. God is a God of order, the Bible tells us. He's sovereign, and that means He has set Himself over all things, that He orders and orchestrates every second of time, everything that would occur. And sometimes that will grind against our flesh because we love our will. We love our free will as human beings. That we see we're born and we have real choices to make. Even the little ones here in the front row, they have real choices each and every day to make. That they feel like they have this agency about them. But all the while, man's will works in concert with God's sovereignty. And we'll look at a little bit, we'll touch on the concept of the freedom and how free you actually are. So I want you to see God is a God of order. He's a sovereign God of order. He organizes and orchestrates and ordains all things. What he particularly wrote to Titus, he was speaking of organizing the church on the foundation of the truth, on sound doctrine. Last time I was with you, remember we talked about sound doctrine. We talked about the truth that was according to godliness. As some men preach truth, yet it's apart from godliness in their own lives and in the lives of believers that might sit in the church or professing believers. Because we know that if Christ saves, He sanctifies. That if He's Savior, He is Lord. And that all who call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And so as we see this sovereign God working, He doesn't save and then leave us the way we were. He saves us.